soul been exposed. Like Versace clothes, just like MK Ultra is on my control. You tripping when you ain't sipping. Have a refill, you feeling like you in prison, huh? That's cause that's real.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host Brian Stavely, and you're here for my awakening, and it's actually already episode 9. So today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be interviewing Aaron Keith on his personal awakening story. And real quickly, just while we wait for a few people to get in here and stuff, I'm going to just explain what these interviews are. What I've decided to do, besides just my regular show, which I usually do like a 3-hour show or whatever every week, lately more often than that. But we get in depth about a lot of things. But I also want to interview people in the community and just get their personal story on their awakening for a lot of reasons. One, because it's important that we all share our stories, because we never know when information that we have is going to be changed for one reason or another, depending on what you believe in. Or there could be lots of reasons we will lose information. But we should all share and share our knowledge, honestly. And like tonight, you know, I might interview Aaron. He might say something about a topic that I never really thought of, so I haven't looked into it deep, and it might trigger me to look into it. Or, you know, you hear different people talk and you put together different pieces of the puzzle. But I think you guys all get that. So we're going to get into his personal story, the topics he's been through, and how it's affected him, stuff like that, what he's into now, what he's looking at now, what he's doing related to it. And then after, we're going to keep these two about an hour, because we don't want them to be too long, so people tend to click on a lot of them or even view them in the first place. But what we do is we do an after show. If you guys in the chat have questions for Aaron, or if you guys want to call in, we're going to address all of that in the after show. So don't think that we're ignoring you in the chat. We just have an hour. And then before the show is over, we'll put a new link in the chat for you, or you can just refresh my channel, you know, shortly after the show is over and catch the after show. It'll launch about 15 minutes after this one. But enough of that. Aaron, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brian. I'm really grateful that you've asked me to be on the show.
I really appreciate you coming on. It's awesome. I'm glad I got you on. I know you're really busy. You know, I've been trying to have you on for several weeks.
Yes.
Started, so I'm glad I got you now. Okay, well, I'm just going to get right into it. So, you know, people use the term, you use different terms. I don't like, you know, the term, you know, oh, I'm awake, woke. Even though I named it my awakening series, it's kind of like the best term for it. But for you, like, what made you first realize, like, you couldn't trust the world governments and the media, like, at all? They were completely controlled. So you had that moment. Like, for me, you know, it was 9/11. Once I realized it was an inside job or whatever, well, all credibility with the media and the government went out for me. What was that kind of moment for you? I know it's usually gradual for some people, but what was it? And if it was gradual, what steps were there?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it's gradual. But I mean, I did have a big moment at one point. I could trace it back to I was brought up Catholic, and that played a big role in my life because I did not like the parameters that were set on me. I didn't like the fear-based control telling you everything. Basically, everything you do is a sin, a mortal sin. And if you get the host, the body of Christ, while you sin, if you didn't confess, then it's a mortal sin, then you're definitely going to hell. It's just all these rules on top of rules. And I hated the fear-based stuff. And I was also an altar boy too for a little bit, but I was not molested, so we're good there.
He throws it. The first thing people are gonna ask. Oh,
yeah, yeah. No, I mean, we didn't really do much other than play ping pong maybe once a month, and then, you know, do whatever we do in the church thing. But the next point in my life, I remember being the next step was somebody introduced me to Sylvia Brown. And for those who don't know who she is, she was a psychic. She's dead now, but she was on. She's most known for being on the Montel Williams show?
Yeah, Montel Williams is the show. Montel, the singer.
Wait, what?
Montel Jordan is the singer. Montel Williams is the show.
Okay, yeah, because I almost said Jordan. Yeah. Okay, so Montel Williams, yeah. They were like best buds, and So she was like that creepy old woman who had like really long fingernails, and she would like be psychic. Anyway, somebody got me into her, and I bought some of her books and I read them, and it was the first time that I actually heard of a different reality other than what I was brought up with, which was the Catholic fear-based model. And that really
you lagged out really bad for about 30 seconds. Okay. You want to just be right when you talked about her and her nails, and then you just totally lagged out.
Okay. I'm going to switch my video just so that doesn't happen again. So I'm going to be really up close, but hopefully that will give more bandwidth to that. So somebody introduced me to Sylvia Brown. I bought some of her books. I read them. It was the first time that I was introduced to a different reality, which was she spoke of reincarnation and how there wasn't a hell, and how, you know, the other side is really our home, and this is just, you know, kind of a testing grounds, a sandbox.
That makes a ton of sense to me, honestly.
Yeah. And I really resonated with that because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't based on fear. It was just free. So I kind of subscribed to that for a while, and I took on that perspective, but I didn't really keep growing in it. I just kind of was like, oh, I kind of believe in reincarnation. But it's one of those things where I wasn't 100% into it. I wasn't confident in it. I was just lost. You know, a lot of people are just lost in this world and they don't know what's out there. That's just the best way I can describe it. I just felt lost, but this felt right for that time. And fast forward, maybe about 3 years, mm-hmm. And so this was probably about 5 or 6 years after 9/11. So we're talking about like 2007.
So 2007 is 3 years after you, 5 years after you talked to her. Like, what year did you talk to her?
Well, I didn't talk to Sylvia Brown, but I got into her books. So.
What year did you get into her exactly?
So, probably around the time I was like 19, 20. So we're talking 2004, 2005.
Okay, and then a few years after that is
so where a few years after that was I was living with two guys, and I was in my 20s. One of the guys was in his 30s and another one was in his 40s. And it was a really awesome experience because we all were very open-minded, but we all had different backgrounds and we all were very intelligent and could discuss these things. So we would have really crazy conversations. And I remember I watched a 9/11 video where they were questioning some things, and I was like, man, this kind of makes a little sense. And I took it to one of the guys, and one of the older guys, and he was like, yeah, no, you're crazy. So I was like, okay, fine, maybe it's not. So I just kind of left it there. It wasn't until a couple years later when I eventually moved to the Boston area. I was living in Quincy at the time. I got a new job working at a web/graphic design agency, and I didn't know many people, but one person I really resonated with was one of my coworkers, and he's very open-minded, and we had conversations about some things, and he was like the only person that I knew where I lived. And then he went overseas to China for a couple weeks to visit his friend, and during that time, I was home alone, and I was bored, and I was flipping through the channels, and I saw on the IFC channel the – what is it, like International Film Festival channel or something like that, or independent film, the video documentary called New World Order. And I was like, this is interesting. So I put it on, and it's Alex Jones, you know, bullhorning Bilderberg with a couple other people, you know, standing on the edge and like yelling at people as they go by in their limos. And I was like, what in the hell is this? Who are these people? Are these people crazy? And I watched it and I was like, what? I was like, man, why are these people doing this? There must be something to it. So that's when I went right to the internet, and that's what officially started it all.
Yeah. People go through that road. I know we kind of laugh at it now, but not everybody. I say this, and then I say to people, everybody went through 9/11. People have all different stories, but it seems like those of us that have been around for a while, we've all gone through the Alex Jones route. It's just a matter of getting out of that, you know?
Yeah, so I did the Alex Jones thing. I did the Ron Paul thing. I was big into the Patriot movement. I actually was a part of the MassLPA, the Massachusetts Liberty Preservation Association. They're based out of like Central Mass, but we did a lot of work in the Boston area. I don't know if you remember. I can't remember. It was around like mid 2000s. There was a bill around when the swine flu thing was happening. There was a bill. I can't remember the name of the bill, but it was they wanted to legalize mandatory vaccinations, forced quarantine, where they could just seize your property if they felt like you were sick. We were instrumental in getting that stopped. We had several protests, and I was doing like all the graphic design work, the posters, things like that. I also did audit the Fed poster in 2005. I don't know if you were part of any of those protests, but maybe.
Oh, I actually didn't quote unquote woke up. I didn't until 2010, until the fall of 2010, when I stumbled across a movie called World Trade Center with Nicolas Cage on Netflix.
Oh, wow.
Had the opposite effect on me as far as the brainwashed me, because it just made me dig, and then you know how my story goes from there. We'll get to that another time.
Yeah. I can't remember if I was into the Patriot movement before Alex Jones or if it was after. I'm just having like some memories cross over where I can't really put a timeline, but anyway, you know, I went the Alex Jones, Ron Paul way of things, and I think I was attracted to the Alex Jones part because of the fear. And I know that I just talked about how I hated the Catholic religion because of the fear base, but I think it felt comfortable for me. And so I was just attracted to that kind of.
Well, they're also saying things, and you know, he's obviously a very loud man, you know, he's saying things very loud that you've never heard somebody say very loud over a friggin' bullhorn like that out in public.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I like watching some dramatic, over dramatic people. But I mean, I remember, I really bought into it because I thought the world was going to end. I remember one time the power went out in my apartment. I was living in an apartment complex in Quincy, and the power went out, and I was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "No, they're coming for me." And I remember I was like crawling on the ground, looking out the windows to make sure.
The bottom of a Walmart somewhere.
Yeah, man. It was like every year I thought, okay, man, if we live another year, if we can just make it through another year without having, going into FEMA camps, you know, it'll be awesome. And it just seems like
so we're going to have a catastrophe where like an asteroid hits the earth or something.
I don't know. It just seems like every year we've made it. We've made it another year. So,
how many years were you looking at his stuff before you and that was kind of leading me into my next question. So I'll just tell you what my next question is now. It's, when did you realize that these people had an alternative agenda? We don't want to talk about anybody. We're not talking about anybody that's legitimate in any of the movements, or we're not throwing names up, but somebody like Alex Jones. I mean, we know these people are gatekeepers now. So what did it take for you to realize that, and how many years into looking in at him did you get to that point? And then you have to reassess the whole situation, because they have a safety net set up for when you start to wake up, and then boom, 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 you know the deal. So when did you start to see that and then realize, okay, I really got to be really independent with my research and not fall back on falling in love with any one researcher because you don't know?
Yeah, I remember listening to Alex Jones stuff. I think I was probably into him like for 4 years, but during that time, there would be I'd hear other people talk about like the Zionist movement and that kind of stuff. And I could never put my finger or understand that completely at the time. And I was like, man, if what Alex Jones is saying is not the ultimate conspiracy, if there's something bigger, I just can't handle it. So I can't go beyond this. You know, if Alex Jones, you know, if what he's saying is, you know, a low end conspiracy and there's something bigger, I just can't handle it. And it wasn't well. So anyway, I took me like a year and a half to design and develop a website called Dark Moon Daily, where I was going to create an aggregate website to pull in all these different alternative news source, you know, blog posts, news articles, and put it in one place.
Yeah, I've done that, and then I got sick of it after because I'm like, oh, this is I had to take it all down.
Well, I put a lot of time and effort into it, and it was awesome. It looked like an old newspaper, and I might actually bring it back. I've heard some people have been wanting something like that, not to aggregate Alex Jones stuff, but anyway, so I did that, and it was right around the time that the first, remember when the first Syrian, what they were trying to blame the Syrians for bombing their own people, gassing their own people. Yeah. That first one was when I had the site launched, because I remember I had one article on there that took off, that and I got a ton of hits on it. And so a little while later, I probably only had it up for like 3 months, and I was subscribed to Gaia TV, or at the time it was Gaiam TV. And they were big into like spiritual stuff. And I've always been spiritual since the Sylvia Brown days, just wondering like metaphysics and, you know, what happens after we die and talking about that kind of thing. And I was watching an episode of David Wilcock's show, and he said something about how it's important to only spread the frequency of love and not spread the frequency of fear, no matter what. And that really resonated with me at the time. I was going through some stuff, some personal stuff. And I remember hearing that, and I'm like, wait a minute. So what am I doing with this website? I am spreading fear. Even if it's the truth, I am spreading fear. And not just the website, but at the time I was doing what we all do, where we are obnoxious with our family and our friends, where, you know, we're trying to get them to realize what's going on in the world. So I had been through that with my family, and you know, one of my sisters wasn't talking to me because I was very forceful with, you know, like this is really happening, and you need to realize, because we're in trouble. And then so after hearing that, I took a step back, and I'm like, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm spreading fear, and when I may be spreading some truth, but the amount of people that are hearing it when I spread it through that fear-based reaction, or that emotional reaction of like, you know, you need to hear me. I'm doing a detriment to humanity. So I immediately shut down the site. I was like, I can no longer do this. I no longer feel like I support this way of going about my business, going about conspiracy theories. I just need to spread love, and you know, we can get into that. Of course, later down the road, I did get into the spiritual the modern day spiritual movement, which is a bunch of bullshit, where, you know, people were like, oh, you can manifest everything if you just be positive. And that's a bunch of bullshit, because if everybody manifests everything they wanted, this world would be chaos.
Would it be any balance? It wouldn't work.
But we can probably get into more of that later on. But so, you know, that's when I realized that, you know, it was that, and then it was that time when
It wasn't necessarily something that he did, like when he, you know, went to the Texas protests or something, like one act by like Alex.
No, you're right.
It
was a combination. So it was that, but then I still hung around the Alex Jones thing, but I was kind of like, I took a step back. But then it was the Texas protest, and it was the Tila Tequila thing, where she was supposed to be on the show, and they kind of like then told her she's not going to be on the show. And then when he had that that paper magazine, do you remember the InfoWars? It was a magazine that they would send to your house.
I wasn't privileged enough. I wasn't a subscriber. My last magazine subscription was Nintendo Power. Okay.
Oh man, that was awesome. I love Nintendo Power. His print editor, her name was Molly, and somebody found her LinkedIn profile, and she had been an intern at Stratfor.
Yeah.
And then And then somebody found out, and I think it was this was right around Sandy Hook, I think, because there was a woman who her claim to fame was in a past life. She was on Coast to Coast AM. In a past life, she was Marilyn Monroe, apparently. I can't remember her actual name, but that was her claim to fame. And she was on YouTube exposing Sandy Hook, but she also was instrumental in exposing Alex Jones with the Molly thing. So that was kind of right around the time, because after I realized the Molly thing, I was like, man, that's it. Because then they or whoever went and changed the LinkedIn profile, so it didn't say that anymore. And I was like, okay, I'm done. That's
you've already seen it. It was just like with the Sandy Hook thing. When the Sandy Hook happened, they had the couple of the memorial pages, like Victoria Soto, the principal lady. She was her memorial. The URL for the memorial page itself, the URL, the domain, was taken out like 3 days before, and it has like, you know, Sandy Hook tragedy or something to that effect right in the URL. So there's no mistaking that it was like a republished article from a newspaper that already had a website. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that gives it away. That Texas thing though, with Alex Jones, that was pretty much the tipping point for a lot of people. That was the way he acted. It was very obvious that his intentions weren't what they, what he's portrayed.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so right after that same woman had a video where she was showing the helicopter footage of Sandy Hook where they're just walking around a circle. And up until that point, I was living in Connecticut at the time of Sandy Hook, probably an hour away from where it happened, because I had moved from Boston to, I bought a house in Connecticut because I was able to work remotely at my job. And I remember watching that and crying. I bought into it.
Bobby Parker, that was it, man. Apollo for me. Sandy Hook and Apollo, those are like weekend hoaxes. Are so
well,
bad.
I mean, it wasn't until I saw her video that I was like, what the hell? I was like, that, there's something to that. And then it was just like one video after another. People just kept making videos. And I mean, I was like, man, what the hell? I was hooked.
All right, so let me ask you a question that I was going to ask you a little later, but we'll kind of jump around since we're on the topic. So you've seen Sandy Hook. You've seen my views on 9/11 and many other people's views, I'm sure. I don't know exactly where you stand on that, and we can get into that. And I know you've seen these other events after Sandy Hook, like Aurora, before Gabby Giffords, Pulse Nightclub. What's your opinion on a lot of false flags being more – let's be more specific, that a lot aren't just false flags carried out by the government. They're also hoaxes. And I'm not saying let's blanket everything. Either people are dying or people aren't. But what's your opinion on a lot of these events? It makes logistically actually more sense to not kill people.
Yeah, I mean, ever since Sandy Hook, I think they use that same model. And you know, whenever one happens, if it's on every news station, it's to me a false flag, and they have to prove otherwise for me to believe it. And I don't have cable, and I don't really watch the news, so. You know, I don't really care anymore what's going on. I mean, I do care for society, but for me, I've made the point where I am not going to give any emotional energy into this, whether it's real, whether it's not. I don't care. I know this sounds a little selfish, but from where I am now and what I'm working on now, you have to take care of yourself first. And we've been brainwashed into thinking that you need to care for others first, and that's more of you're a better person if you put others before yourself. But you cannot help others the way they need to be helped unless you have your unless you have your energetic makeup right and you're balanced in your energies.
Well, and we grow as we go, Aaron, like in a lot of ways, like, okay, like, for example, like, okay, so we know that as far, you know how I feel about these events. For people that don't know, I believe all these mass shootings, at least since 9/11 and moving forward, have all been staged, at least in America, in my opinion. Okay. But, you know, even if I'm wrong, I'm fine with that, because what'll happen if I'm wrong? I'll admit it, I'll correct it, and I'll still be up on the scoreboard like 99-1 to these guys, because they've lied every time, and it's like the little boy who cried wolf. They have to prove it at this point, you know? They have to prove it.
There's so much to point to. I mean, they're lying to us all the time, so why do people still buy into what they tell us? It's insane.
Yeah. It is insane. And I forgot my other point that I was going with that, like that we grow as we go. So like now, and I've known you, we've had talks and I've known you've seen the change in me now where I don't address the trolls. Like I used to get so mad and had have to, and they were attacking me crazy. Like with 9/11, it was ridiculous. There were points where I had to say something, but you've seen lately, I brush it off. I focus my energy somewhere else. And you know, we've been doing this for a while. And there's other people that have been doing it a lot longer, and there's people that have been doing it a lot less. People are at different levels. We can let the newer people that have been around for a year or two or three in the truth movement, they can, you know, deal with the people that are real confrontational about it and are sucking your energy and blah, blah. And then we can do our thing and try and move the conversation forward and make these connections. Everybody has their different role, and I'm past dealing with all the negativeness, you know, and I'll try and help anybody I talk to. But it's like I'm not going to start with the people that are like, you know, in the official, you know, like Flat Earth First Globe debate groups and stuff like that. Like those people, it's just that's not what I'm about now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you want to help the people who want to be helped. It's tiring when you're trying to help the people who just want to argue and aren't listening. And it's just a waste of time, a waste of emotional energy that you're just taking on. It's making you tired and exhausted and cranky, and then you're not able to have the relationships with the people around you because you're annoyed by trying to talk to these people. So if you just stay consistent with with the level that you're putting out and don't participate in that overdramatic type of energy where these people are just trying to draw, they want to justify their words, or they want you to justify their words. So if they come and attack you, if you respond back at any level emotionally, then they are justified in what they say. And then, you know, they have so basically they look justified.
Well, by letting them trigger you, you are basically,
exactly.
That's exactly what you're doing. Okay, so after you get through the idea about the fear, the fear porn, the fear propaganda, you start to realize what gatekeeping is. You know, there were a lot of big events. And I'm going to put out some of the topics, and I want you to fill in the blanks with some of the other ones you looked at. I want your opinion, a few minutes on each, you know, like 5 minutes on each, and then we can elaborate in the after show, whatever. I want your opinion on 9/11, your opinion on NASA, Flat Earth, Mandela Effect, and what other big topics you've been looking into in the last however many years.
So 9/11, yeah, 9/11. I probably went the route most people did, where you know they went to loose change. Actually, I think I even did like Michael Moore's. I think he had that video. That was like the first one, and then the loose change stuff. But I eventually made my way to September Clues, and that video made the most sense to me. I mean, to me, they broke it down, especially that one shot where they have it. It's on the helicopter, and it's zoomed out, and I think you can't see a plane. And then they zoom in, and that's the one where the plane goes. You see the nose come through the other side, but there's no way the plane could have made up that much distance because they didn't see. You didn't see it on the wide shot.
At all in the wide angle, it zooms in, and then all of a sudden it's speeding in through the side of the frame. I know the shot.
Yeah, and then of course the nose sticks out the other side. It's just a bunch of BS. So I mean, for me, I was like, okay, well, there's no planes, and that's where I stand now. Now, of course, you and I have had many talks on this, or I guess we haven't really had talks, but I've listened to a lot that you've had to say on that, and I've been listening to you since I moved to Virginia, which is about 5.5 years. That's when I remember when I first started listening to you. Of course, once I moved away from you, that's when I got into your stuff. So we've never had the chance to meet. So I don't know. I guess I don't have an opinion on whether there were no victims. I think what you showed with the Photoshop stuff, I think a lot of them, at least the ones where they had the parents going around, those were all made up. Now, whether there were other victims or weren't, I don't know.
Like Bob McElvain and his whole circus sideshow.
Yeah.
Faking his tears every time, his crocodile tears. But that's my point is, and I don't need you to tell me, you know, whether there definitely were or not, and you know, and other people can have the opinion that they were, and that I don't, at least if we know that most of them were fabricated. But in my opinion, it's very important if there were none, because that, again, that takes away that whole fear thing that they have over us. And you got to think, these people like Bob McElvain and other people that are going around faking that they lost loved ones, if there are really people that lost loved ones, think about how impossible it would be for them to do that and have it on their conscience. Same thing with everybody involved in 9/11 on the inside. Whatever was done, if we just used a round number, say 100 agents involved, obviously way more, say 100 agents involved in destroying the buildings or setting it up, yada, yada, yada. If you guarantee them that nobody's going to get hurt, and they're going to get compensated, this and that, the percentage of them that go along would be very high. If you tell them, hey, you're going to do this, we're going to compensate you, blah, 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 but 3,000 Americans are going to die, including cops and firefighters, I would tend to think the percentage of government agents that would do that would be less than like 5%, if that, because people are generally a lot better people than we are led to believe. People aren't that evil. People aren't going to walk into school and kill a bunch of kids. It's just, there's just so much fear out there, and I think it's important that that's the one thing that they really have over us, because when you're in fear, you make bad decisions. It's like, okay, well, how can I worry about researching this topic, Mandela effect or whatever, when I think these Arabs are going to blow me up and I got to worry about my kids getting shot in school, and it's all just to keep you, you know, you can't be stable.
Yeah, you, when you're emotional, you're not, you can't be logical. You can't have logic and be emotional at the same time.
No, not at all. It's crazy. It's crazy stuff. So, all right. So that's 9/11, and we can get more into that in the after show. Your opinion. Okay. When did you, I know that you believe in it. So we've talked about it many times, and we've had some good talks on it. When did you find out about the Mandela effect? What was your first big one, and what are your biggest ones now? And what do you think is causing it?
So I think
it's causing it.
I think you and I, kind of had the same timeline with Flat Earth and Mandela, because I remember reaching out to you when I first got into Flat Earth, and I was like, "Hey Brian, have you gotten to Flat Earth yet?" And you were like, "Oh, I'm researching it now." So we were kind of aligned, at least, you know, how far back we've gone with Flat Earth and probably Mandela too, because I think Mandela happened after
Flat Earth. It did. After, but not that long, because I've gotten the timelines mixed up. I told people I know I was Flat Earth in the fall of 2014, because I remember who was around. It just Matt, Eric didn't have his video yet, Mark, none of these people were out yet. And then I've dug up some of my old posts to look and see some of the posts in the group. I was able to search them out. But also Mandela effect, I think it was probably 5 or 6 months after, very early 2015 for us.
Yeah, I found some weird website, because at the time there wasn't a lot on it, and I found like some weird website that was talking about the Berenstain Bears. And I remember Berenstain because I remember being a little kid and sitting on the toilet reading those while I'm taking a shit. And so I know it was EIN. And that was my first glimpse into the Mandela effect, was that. And so at the time, there weren't really a lot out.
It was that, and then JFK, and it was really slim pickings at the beginning. For the first few months, there wasn't much at all. And then once Black Tom in South America came, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy, man. South America's 1,000 miles to the east now. The Panama Canal runs north and south, and now the Statue of Liberty was blown up to the torch. Nobody's ever been up there by this terrorist attack that never even happened in our timeline. It's like, oh, it drives me crazy, man.
Well, my biggest one, my most profound experience with the Mandela effect was with you, where because you would tag me whenever you'd find a new one and be like, check this out. And you were like, check this out. The Flintstones changed from Flint with a T, which makes sense because they're in the Stone Age. Flint makes fire. And the T was gone, F-L-I-N. And I was pissed off. I remember spending 3 hours. I stopped working, spent 3 hours searching Google, looking at like advertisements of like Flintstone vitamins, and everything changed. Everything changed to F-L-I-N. And, you know, after a while, I was like, well, I guess it changed. That's kind of fucked up. But, and then it was like 5 or 6 months later. I don't know if you told me or if I stumbled upon it, but it changed back. It went back to Flint. And so now I tell people that, but there's no way for me to prove that unless you can hack my memory, because there's, There's no residue that I can show people to say, you know, that it was Flynn, went to Flynn, and then went back to Flynn.
We all seen it, and that was huge for me too. And the other one that was just like that for me was the Apollo 13 one. Did the same thing, where okay, you know, everybody knows it's one of the most famous quotes of all time. Never mind just talking about these movie quotes. I mean, this is when they, you know, landed on the moon, and he's, you know, Houston. No, they didn't land when they went to Apollo 13, and they went to the moon, and then, you know, they had to turn around, and come back. But Houston, we have a problem. And then it changed to Houston, we've had a problem in past tense. Like, we've had a problem, but we corrected it. You know, that's not even what happened at all. And it, the funny thing is, it changed in the movie and the Apollo footage. Like, the Tom Hanks changed too. And then everybody was seeing this one. We were all on YouTube watching it, you know. And everybody's in the comments like, oh, my God, I can't believe it changed. I can't believe it changed. And then it changed back. Like, it wasn't as long as the Flintstones was. It might have been 30 days. Might have been 60. And then it changed back. Yeah, it changed back, Simone. She asked in the chat. Now it's Houston. We have a problem, like it always was. That's a big one for me, you know, big one.
So, I mean, you asked what do I think is causing it. I was on your roundtable months ago talking about it. And, I mean, I don't know. I don't put a lot of thought into it anymore. But, I mean, at the time, my theory was, you know, it had to do with the double slit experiment and consciousness, the act of observing something, causing something to change. So maybe if AI does run the world, or if we are in some type of simulation, the act of discovering the simulation could change some things or start to warp some things. So, I mean, that's the best I have as a theory, but I mean, I don't really put a lot of thought into what's causing it. 'Cause I don't know. I don't know if we can stop it per se. I don't, you know.
Okay. Well, next topic. What's your opinion on, we'll start with the moon landing.
I mean, moon landing definitely didn't happen. I mean, the pictures you always share, I mean, it's like curtain rods and black construction paper and tinfoil. There's no way that thing went to the moon. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, there's just, Joe Rogan, there's just no way.
Yeah, there's no way we went to the moon. There's no way. There's no way. We didn't go to the moon. There's no way.
And then that gift that you got banned for, that thing is so fake. The pyrotechnics that come out of it, I mean, it's like 1960s pyrotechnics.
Like crane. It's like lifted up with a crane that's just not in the shot. The way it goes up, it's like, oh my God, dude. And who filmed it? Who filmed this thing and panned up? Are you going to say a remote control camera? Well, you present a 13-second delay when you're allegedly only 200 miles away on the ISS. So you're 237,000 miles away allegedly on the moon. What type of delay are you having? And with that delay, how can you pan up in sync with a lifting off spacecraft? It's totally illogical. So somebody needs to go back and bring that guy a sandwich, because that dude's 40 years, bro.
Yeah. There's, I mean, anything space. I like Crow 777, or yeah, that's what it is, right?
777.
I subscribe to his podcast. I really like him. The thing I like most about him is the way he thinks, where he doesn't go beyond where he needs to. And like I've said a bunch of times, you've heard me say this, but I like when he was talking about Flat Earth, where he said, I know that we've been lied to. I don't need to adopt another concept or belief system to, you know, to prove that I do. And talking about like buying into another map and then trying to fit everything that we see to another map. He just knows that we've been lied to, and he doesn't feel the need to go any further. And I kind of like that attitude. For you know, kind of for the reasons where I'm going now in my awakening, or the next step where I'm going, I'm kind of at that point where I'm not investing too much energy into really trying to figure these things out. I would love to if I live near a group of people that were very scientific minded and we wanted to actually do scientific studies to prove some of these things, I would be there, because I like that kind of thing. But I don't think there's a lot of that going on anymore. I think. As with all movements, when you're in the newness, it's like everything is pure. And I kind of liken this to the cryptocurrency movement in the last few years, where you had all these purists who were into crypto, and they were in it for the tech. They weren't in it for the money. And then once it started getting oversaturated, you just oversaturate with people who just care about the money, and it starts to ruin it. So now, like in the flat Earth, I see it where people are just in it to spread memes or something. I don't know what it is, but it's oversaturated where it's to the point where it's not pure anymore. The amount of people who are serious about the scientific part of it are watered down, or yeah, they've left. I don't know which one it is.
When a movement grows to as big as it is, that's what's going to happen. I mean, honestly, look how much it's grown, especially in the last 2 years. It's blown up more than anything. So just so people are clear, your opinion on NASA and the spinning globe Earth.
Yeah, so
subscribe to any map. What's your opinion on what we've been told we live on?
Yeah, and what I was getting to at with the crow thing, I don't think space is real at this point. I actually think the stars, it's almost like we're looking at a map. And people might remember this. There was a show called, oh, damn it, I just had it on the tip of my tongue. It was a six-part series. They canceled it. I think it starts with an A. But it was about these people who, like Earth went crazy, and so they put a bunch of people in the spaceship, and they blasted them off, and it was going to be 100 years until they hit their destination, wherever, whatever planet they're going to. But in reality, what was actually happening is they had the spaceship in a giant warehouse, and they had a screen in front of where the captain sits to look out. They had a screen showing the planets come through. So it appeared that they were in space, and these people were on the ship for like 70 years before one person broke out and discovered what was going on. But that, I mean, that I think is actually kind of close to what's going on. I think space is, I believe in astrology. There's something to the planets marking the energies that are going on, but I don't, just because I see the planets, just because I sense the energies, and when the planets do certain things, then we feel certain energies. I'm not actually going to say that one, it's one-to-one. Like, we see Todd, he has developed a frequency-based life philosophy over the last 20 years through a lot of trauma that he's been through. And so I co-host this podcast where we basically discuss his philosophy and different topics based on it. And it's based on a perspective of wellness. So, and this is kind of where I've gone in my awakening, which, kind of started with that abandoning the fear-based perspective or pushing of information and moving towards a is best for everybody involved, but also for yourself. So you're not taking on emotional trauma. You're actually cleansing yourself, or going back and looking at your traumas from when you were younger, as a child, because a lot of your emotional outbursts that you have now, or your emotional reactions that you have now, are actually not, have nothing to do with the person who's triggering you into those. It actually has to do with something that happened. And it could have even been in a past life, or even if you don't believe in past lives, it could also be trauma that has transferred to you through your line of lineage.
Well, maybe another timeline or dimension for people.
Yes,
that want,
yeah,
to.
Yeah. Because it is, I mean, essentially time doesn't exist, as people like to say. In this reality, it does. But some people say that when we, with ring.
Oh, you're lagging it. Aaron, you're lagging again. You're frozen. Maybe you could call in from your phone. All right, guys, it looks like we're having an issue with Aaron, so we'll probably have to just get him back in here again. Sorry about that. I don't know what else to tell you. Stuff happens. I just told him to join in on his phone if he has to, or if he has to call in. So this should just take a minute. Just please stick with us. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio, and we'll just continue with a ODD song for a minute. All right?
Welcome to your trauma-based mind control. When will the shit end, man? I don't know. Until then, there's no place I won't go. I'm trying to wise up, rise up, and fight the foe. Yo, I don't give a fuck if you call the cops. This is over to the dose, and I'm not gonna stop. Nobody in my life is gonna call the shots. Unless it's just me, so it's all or not. The way that they have us all living is sad. Humans are stupid, conditions are bad. I promise that you won't be digging the future. You're gonna be missing the shit that you had. I don't even know if we can ever even win. The only thing I'm sure of is I'll never sleep again. If you think you know anything, then you better think again. Just a part of a story that might not ever even end. Oh no, how can it be? This world is testing me. Won't give up readily. This is my destiny. I won't quit till my heart stops ticking. Searching for the part that's missing. Seeking truth, I'm on a mission. I can see, I got that vision. In debt, your payments past you. Your life just races past you.
Right.
Wake up, the matrix has
back,
you. Wake up, the matrix has you. We are enslaved like cattle. Held back with chains and shackles. Wake up, the matrix has you.
Okay, everybody, we're back again. Sorry about that. Glad it was resolved quickly. Aaron, I don't know what's going on with your connection, but maybe next time if it does, it just can you use your phone's connection, your cell phone, and just do Hangouts on your phone?
Well, everything runs off my Wi-Fi because I live in the middle of nowhere, so that's the downside of.
Well, what about yourself? If it gets really bad, like it keeps happening, you could just make a phone call and call in on the phone line.
So that's the thing. I don't have cell reception here. Everything runs off my Wi-Fi. I probably need to move my router back to where it was, and I don't know. I don't know. I've never had this happen before. I've never been disconnected so many times, so this is a new one.
All right. Well, we'll try and wrap this up, and hopefully for the after show it'll be cleared up. But not really wrap it up. So we're talking about your frequency radio show. Yeah,
Brian. Why don't you take a quick break? I'm gonna move my router back so this because it just keeps happening. I don't know what's going on with it. So I'll be back in like 3 minutes. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine, guys. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely, Aaron Keith, and this is his My Awakening interview. And just stick with us during the break, please. When the show is over, that you you know, you just refresh the channel a few minutes after. Give me a minute or two to launch the after show. And, you know, you can just wait in the lobby. We'll take a 10, 15-minute break, and we'll come back for about an hour or so, maybe a little less, a little more, whatever you guys want. We'll ask questions from the chat, take questions from the chat, and if anybody wants to call. Aaron, so we were talking about your radio show. You got a little bit into it, and then it kept lagging up. But I know people want to hear about your frequency stuff. And, you know, why don't you kind of start it over if you can?
Yeah. So sorry about that. Okay, so it's called Wise. I think I've spelled it out so many times. We have a Facebook page. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We also have a website, and we're on YouTube. So Wise, W-I-S-E, W-H-Y-S. And it's a frequency-based life philosophy to basically help you live a better life, help you stop with your conditional programming of emotionally reacting, taking responsibility for your emotions, because nobody can make you have any sort of emotional reaction. It's you're actually choosing to have an emotional reaction. And every time you emotionally react and you don't process that emotion, you actually start storing it in your body. And that's in this philosophy that can cause some that can later turn into physical pain or even long-term illnesses. So we, you know, our goal in the podcast is to help people process that, but also discover a lot about themselves. So there are two systems that we talk about in the podcast, the human design system and the destiny card system. And these systems help to kind of describe who you are and how you interact with information or other energies in the world. And for me, this helped confirm some of the things that I've always thought about who I was, but the world almost made me feel wrong for for having these views. And the best way I can describe it is they're both kind of based on astrology in certain ways. Like the Human Design System is a mix of astrology and the I Ching, and the Destiny Card System is actually where playing cards originated from. And, you know, 2,000-3,000 years ago in Egypt, before playing cards, before tarot cards, these cards, it was hidden knowledge. They hid it in the order of the Magi, was the secret society who took this information and kept it so it wasn't lost, and eventually re-released it. And it's based off of astrology and numerology. So it's all very interesting stuff. I've proved that it has had a major impact on my life. The Destiny cards, as far as predicting certain energetic cycles that I've come across in my life, whether it was a cycle of, like, for example, last January or this past January, in that cycle I was in, it told me that if I worked too hard, if I didn't give myself breaks, I was probably going to get sick. And I had the information. I didn't listen to it, and I worked really hard, and I got sick for a week, you know, had a fever of 103. Just things like that where it can predict. So it's not going to tell you the future, but it's like getting a weather forecast and where you know what to expect coming up. And so it's not going to be like somebody's going to die, you know, so beware. It's basically saying you're going to go through this energy, and you can choose to react to it in a harsh way, or, you know, go through it easier. And if you go through it easier, then you're going to have an easier time emotionally, and you're just going to feel better because you're not going to be as stressed out. So that's just a very, very, very light version of what we talk about. But I would ask people to just go check out the podcast. We have an overview in our feed. It's one of the first, it's not really an episode, it's just an overview of the foundation. So this is something I should talk about. The reason why I resonated with this philosophy is that, and the reason why I resonated with Ron Paul so much is because he had a reason for everything he said. Like, nowadays politicians, everything is their opinion, or if they're getting paid by some company to have this opinion on something, there's no rhyme or reason why they believe anything. But Ron Paul is all about freedom. So if you asked him a question about something, he would give you an answer based on him holding it to freedom and whatever answer he got. So he didn't care whether he resonated with it or not. The answer was whatever, you know, if you took that problem and held it to, you know, the perspective of freedom, then you got your answer. So that's what attracted me to this philosophy. What is, there's a foundation, what we call the pillars, and you're not stuck asking this one guy his opinion on something. If you have a problem, if you subscribe to the perspectives of all the pillars, then you can essentially take your problem and then look at the pillars, compare it, and get your own answer for what you should do. So it's not about, you know, following a guru. You know, his name is Alexander. He'll tell you that, you know, he's not a guru. He's just an ordinary dude, and he wants to be treated like that. So it's something cool. Even if you're just looking for some inspiration in your life, you're feeling stale, you're feeling like you're in a rut, this will just give you another perspective and help you, you know, possibly find a better path.
Awesome. So I want to talk about a little something that you got going on. And as a lot of people that have been following my shows or seen me on some other shows, like I've been on Brian McFarlane's show a lot, and I've been wearing these shirts. These are from you. You made these. It's a great shirt. This one's straight out of Curvature. You sent me three other ones. You're wearing one right now. Why don't you show us that real quick?
Yes, I am wearing one of the new ones. The Illuminati has like a distressed look. So all of my designs, I like to have two perspectives of them. One where if you're into what it's promoting, if you're into that conspiracy, you can wear it and kind of like feel good while wearing it. And you're actually promoting what you believe without having to you know, throw your opinion in somebody's face. So this way it can stimulate a conversation where if somebody is genuinely curious and asks you about your shirt, or if they're into the same thing and they get it, they'll come up to you and ask you because they think it's awesome. So that's how we can stimulate these intellectual conversations where both sides are actually listening instead of just, you know, yelling your perspective at somebody and they're yelling back, and it's just a waste of time and energy. So I like to have, you know, two ways of looking at things. So like the Illuminati, it's spelled out naughty. I know people have seen that before, and I don't generally like to use cliches in my designs, but this was one that I've had planned for a while. So of course it's, you know, contributing or alluding to the actual Illuminati, but then saying that they're actually naughty. So I think people who want to promote the idea that the Illuminati exists and that they're actually bad people or doing bad, quote, bad things, then they can wear that. But also I think some people will just think it's funny, you know, and will wear it because, I don't know, maybe it's trendy or something. So I like to have multiple angles of perspectives when people look at the shirt. They may not get the same thing out of it that the person wearing it does.
Well, that's good. That's good. And I'm not, no bullshit, guys. Like, these shirts really are really comfortable. When Aaron was making them, we talked about the material. I said, dude, yeah, as long as that, you know, make them thin. And these are thin. They fit perfect. I'm an extra large, and they all fit me fine. And I wash and dry them. I don't dry them on high heat, like you said not to. I dry them on low heat, but I do dry them, and none of them have cracked or faded or anything. And it's pretty cool to wear a shirt with a message, honestly. I want to wear all shirts like this now all the time, you know?
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, I am basically a one-man operation. So I design and code the website. I purchase all the blank shirts. I make all the designs. I create all the screens because we screen print. I use the machine. I operate the machine. And then, you know, I also do custom tags, and then bag and fold them and ship them out. So when you order something from me, you know that you're getting it. A true small business, just me out here. So the website is Verity's Apparel. I think you probably put it in the show description. I'm trying to add new designs, you know, a couple every quarter. And I do have not just the unisex shirt. It kind of has a little bit of a men's fit, but I also have women's tanks and women's V-necks, which is a V short sleeve.
And tank tops are nice. Some of those women tank tops I was looking at before, they're really nice. And you do have a Facebook fan page or something, right?
Yes.
I should have that in the notes after. So just make sure you get me the link after, and I'll put it in the notes after we're all done tonight or whatever. Okay, so we really got to move this along and get into the after show. A few last questions is, how has awakening people in your personal life gone for you?
Well, like I mentioned before, it got me into trouble when I got into the GMO thing. I took it really serious, and because they were trying to poison me. Just like when I was living in Massachusetts, there was that big anti-gun where it seemed like the government didn't want you to have the guns. So I went and got a concealed permit just because the government didn't want me to. So with the GMOs, I took that seriously, and it kind of resulted in not having a good relationship with one of my sisters for a few years. But I did plant the seed, and I eventually pulled back and realized that, you know, back in that fear-based, when I realized the fear thing, I pulled back and I just stopped talking about it. And eventually my sister got it on her own, you know, based on what I said earlier.
That's what Joey said last show too. I think it was his grandmother or an aunt, somebody in his family, and that they're a flat earther now, and they didn't even get it from him. So yeah, pretty good. So just a couple more questions. What are your goals with as far as your awakening? Like, I know, like, for my opinion, you know, it's personal knowledge. It's a collective consciousness of getting everybody aboard to get out of this control system that we're in. Like, what are your goals for awakening? Is it to awaken everybody else? Is it to make yourself better? Is it to, like, what is it?
Well, I think I hold truth above all as the most important. And my 10th generation ancestors on my dad's side, it goes back to Scotland, and we actually held some castles in the 12th through 15th centuries. And our clan, our motto is Veritas Vincit, which means truth conquers. So I like to, that really resonates with me. So whether it was passed down through lineage truth has always, or the search for truth has always resonated with me. But what has led me to this, I was on, like, I just need to find out what's going on in the world, and it's addicting. But now I think I'm on a kick to become the best person I can, the best human I can be on this earth. And that starts with me. And I feel that we're only going to change the world if we change ourselves first, because then we will all start to resonate outward. And somebody, if we become an example in our personal lives through action, not through the things we say, like promoting certain conspiracy theories, but how we hold ourselves, the energies we carry, it will multiply. And only then, because then the revolution is coming from within, and it's coming from a core value system. It's not coming from the mind. And when it comes from the heart and it comes from the core, that's when we're going to have a true revolution from the grassroots. It's not going to, I don't think it's going to come from the mind, because the mind can be manipulated and tricked. But when you're on a core value system and you know that it's right, I mean, you know right from wrong, then I think that's when it will spread.
Awesome. Awesome. So my last question, and then we're going to take a 10 to 15 minute break. And like I said, you guys are listening, or that you guys that are watching after, if you're listening, I'll try and get the link into the chat, but I probably won't make it in time by the time the video closes. So just refresh my channel in a few minutes. Give me 3 or 4 minutes to set it up after we're done. And if you're watching the show later on, look in the show notes for the after show. And the only reason I do that is to keep these interviews, because right now we could go another hour, and just, I want to keep the interviews to about an hour, because people will tend to click on them more. And then if they're more interested, they'll watch the rest of it. Why did you decide to do this interview with me today?
Well, Brian, I think this is the first time we've done a video interview, and I have been a fan of yours for a long time. And I don't know, I think we just resonate, and we're like-minded. And I think I think my perspective and my way of looking at things needs to be, I'm not being arrogant in any way, but I think the way I look at things from a more pulled back perspective on conspiracies and on life with the emotional stuff and the podcast is something that the conspiracy community needs to go in that direction, because I see it suddenly, because it's being watered down. There's a lot of just emotionally reactive people in it, and it's just getting angry. And that's not what we need. When people are angry, nobody's listening. And the only way to spread this is if people are listening. So I don't know. I mean, I enjoy discussing this stuff with you. And I think there's a message here that needs to be said.
Awesome. And maybe one time you come back and come on to like a regular broadcast with me, like when I, you know, do the regular show 3 hours long or whatever, and we talk about all different shit. That'd be cool. Well, you already did. I mean, you did the 4-hour minute with me, and that was awesome, man. That show was great. We had a round table. We talked about, it was literally titled "What's Causing the Mandela Effect," and we all had different opinions, and some opinions I disagree with strongly, but we all came together, and just because we don't who am I to say you're wrong and who you mean say I'm wrong? We're talking about a spiritual awakening. We don't really have a clue, really, like, you know. So it's just good to be open-minded and have the conversation.
Exactly. And I didn't give you props earlier, because I mean, I did reach out to you and I did tell you that I've seen you change, because when you were battling the trolls, once in a while I would just mention something, or we would talk, and you would recognize that I handle things differently. And I mean, I've definitely seen you change over the last 4 or 5 months as far as how you've handled that. And you've definitely gone from somebody entertaining that type of energy to just doing your own thing and minding your own business and doing what you think needs to be done. And that's, we need more people like that, holding that energy. So thank you for into the community.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. Maybe we'll just stick it. We'll just keep it here, because there aren't that many live people right now for the after show. I don't know. Do you want to go more in depth into some topics? Do you want to do an after show, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay, so let's wrap this up now, guys. So everybody that's been listening, we know we're going to wrap this up. Aaron's going to go more in depth into the after show, into some of his topics that we talked about. If you guys that are listening want to ask any questions in chat, or if you want to call in, you can call in. The number is 978-435-0006, but of course I'll give that out again. So just give us a minute, and we'll relaunch a new stream, and you guys can just join up, and we'll all take a 10-15 minute break, okay? So it's 9:23 here, my time, Aaron. So how about 9:40 we'll relaunch it. But I'll get you the link, and I'll send it to you on Facebook within 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right, guys, thank you. You've been listening to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. My guest, Aaron Keith. This is My Awakening, Episode 9, and we are closing it out now. And be sure to check out the after show, because Aaron's going to elaborate on a lot of stuff, and we're going to have a little more back and forth conversation about some things. It should be really good. All right, everybody, you listen to Dose of Reality Radio. Have a good night.